Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. We continue our conversation with Charlton Heston.
You and I were talking about your visits to Israel.
We of course, shot in the Holy Land, and my son insisted that he said, when we go to the various places where these events are presumed to have taken place, he said, then you have to have commentaries to explain why they think that, what the significance was. And I said, so who's going to write that? He said, you have to write it. You wrote the other, so you've got to write that too. So I did. And we had, for example, when we were shooting the scene of the Last Supper, and they have identified the room in which they feel that took place. And the guide who was showing us around there when we were shooting said, you know, two floors down is the tomb of David, King David. Mm. And I said, I wonder if Jesus knew that. It's amazing. And all the places we went, it was... But I think the most important thing about the shoot there from the terms of how it worked for us was they had recently discovered a first century Roman theater and excavated it. It had been buried, you perhaps have been there. And we shot all the scenes of the stories. I enacted the stories on that stage in various parts of it. Mm-hmm. And then we went to where these things happened, the Sea of Galilee, the Red Sea, and I did the commentaries explaining them, but it was...
How did seeing some of these places... You played Moses having not seen...
That's correct.
...Mount Sinai.
The first scene I did in the film, Moses, and I think DeMille wisely realized the importance of this, though it was out of the continuity that we would use in the film, was Moses walking barefoot down Sinai, having seen the burning bush. And that, I wouldn't be so presumptuous as to claim that I climbed Sinai and found God, but I think I found Moses.
Do places help you as an interpreter, as a reader, catch a spirit?
That's very important. One of the advantages of doing film, as opposed to plays, which I love, but often you find yourself in an environment that carries you by itself. Mm. You know, you almost don't need to act it. And that was true certainly of Mount Sinai, of the Sea of Galilee, of the Jordan, even though the Jordan is considerably narrower than I expected, something along the lines of the wide Missouri. But, it isn't quite that, but it still has a lot of weight to it. The story of Abraham and Isaac, which is one of the great stories for me in great drama. To see in here, there are two or three paintings by different painters of the same event, and it's wonderful.
You ever think about your own son when you're thinking about this great story and how in the world? I mean, I was telling somebody the other day that once you have children, a lot of things take on a different meaning to you, and certainly before you have children, you probably don't relate to Abraham and Isaac quite in the same way as you do. After you've had children, you realize... This story is very to the heart of who we are as fathers.
Oh, yes. No father can read that without shivering.
Your love of the King James Version.
Well, it's interesting to trace the road the Bible passed when it first could be printed at all, then in Latin, in Greek, from Aramaic, so on and so on. And then finally, at last, in English, Tyndale's translation, for which he got burned. Mm-hmm. And then finally, when King James appointed 47 scholars and clerics and bishops and so on to translate an English version of the Bible. And it took them, I think, 7 years. And I have a private idea that one of the young monks filling the ink wells and sharpening the quills was the illegitimate son of Shakespeare, because they're so close. And I think the archbishop knew this, the boss, and when they would one group would turn in a chapter, they'd say, yes, that's very well done. Nicely done, gentlemen. You did a fine job. He said, you know, I think I'm going to have young brother Will take a look at this. That boy has a way with words. That's why it sounds so much like Shakespeare. I swear I think that.
Yeah, and it is... And it has
circled the world.
It has. It's mm-hmm. had a tremendous impact. When you think back now... Well, first of all, in our family on Christmas, my dad always read the Christmas story, or at least part of it, to start the day. Did things like that happen in the Heston household?
Oh, yeah. We are inveterate readers and also inveterate readers out loud. not just the Bible or not just Shakespeare. Pardon me, not just Shakespeare, but whatever book happens to be. I'm sure you've read the Lewis and Clark book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Meriwether's book.
Yes, yeah. Wonderful book.
Yeah. Now, you read that out loud.
You find a passage. You'll be reading, and I'll say to my wife, we'll be reading in bed at night, and say, listen to this, isn't it? Well, it's understandable. That's what I do for a living. I seize any chance to...
Now, do you find yourself really dramatizing your reading, even when you're reading to your wife?
Oh, sure. The first real book, aside from kids' books... book that is an adult book is Stevenson's Treasure Island, you know, mm-hmm. which is a marvelous novel.
Yeah.
And I read that to my son when he was about five, I guess, four maybe. And we'd read a chapter a night. And I had a fine time. Who be you, George Mary? Maybe you thought you was Captain Ear, perhaps. By the powers, I'll teach you better. And when we'd do a chapter a night, then when we finished finally, I said, well, that's the end of that one, Fraser. What do you want to read tomorrow? He said, let's do that one again. I read it to him four times.
When you look at the landscape of our country, heading into the 21st century, you are kind of a senior statesman in some ways.
That's saying too much.
When you look at the landscape of American society, in closing here, what concerns you most, and what would your vision be for the 21st century for our country?
The fact that we seem to be breaking up into a bunch of Balkan enclaves, little groups with a different agenda and huddling off in our own little camp. And I'm afraid I remember what Thomas Jefferson said, when I consider that God is just, I tremble for the Republic. And I tremble for the Republic, but I hope we will survive.
Do you feel hopeful signs? Do you see hopeful signs?
Well, on the other side, somebody said, I've forgotten who said this, the invention of the United States of America is the most significant political act in the history of mankind.
This concludes our conversation with Charlton Heston. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse. Thank you for listening to the Kindling's Muse. If this program sparks something in you, I invite you to participate at www.thekindlings.com. That's KINDLINGS. Share this program, tell a friend, or just leave a comment at www.thekindlings.com.